I want you to take your Bible this evening. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter number 3. When you arrive at Matthew 3, I'd like for you to find verse number 13. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 13. Once you find it, if you would stand with me, Matthew 3:13. Matthew 3:13, and I'm going to read all the way through the end of the chapter. The Bible says this: Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God was well pleased because Jesus had followed in the obedience of baptism. God was well pleased because the Holy Spirit came to Jesus. Oh, that pleased God very, very much. And I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture, the Spirit came to Jesus and wanted to be around Jesus. The Spirit wasn't fleeing him. The sermon tonight is called Rejecting His Spirit. And let's pray. Father, help us tonight. We're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I certainly would, I don't want to do an injustice to thy Spirit. Tonight, work in our midst. I pray that thy Spirit would control this sermon about thy Spirit. Bless us now with thy presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to make a couple of very quick statements, and then I'll get into the base of the sermon. I will ask that you pay attention on purpose this evening. My sermon, it'll give you a lot to think about in regard to the subject of the Holy Spirit of God. Our God's made up of three parts. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's one God, but three parts. When you get saved, you ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. God, or Jesus, in the person of the Holy Spirit, is the one that moves into you. He moves into you, and you get all of Him. The problem is, He's inside you, and He doesn't have all of you. You get all of Him, and He just doesn't always get all of you. And that's why you hear the term being filled with the Spirit. He comes in, He would like to expand into every part of your life. Many times we limit Him, and so our life is not full of the Spirit's guidance, but He lives within us. I want to say this also. The Spirit of God will never, and has never, led anybody contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God and the Spirit of God, they agree 100%. Now, let me read something again to you. We read Matthew chapter 3, verse number 16. The Bible says, And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Again, God was very pleased. And I think God was pleased because Jesus was baptized, but I think God was pleased because the Spirit of God came to Jesus, and obviously they were in unity, and there was a unison, there was a combination going on, but that Spirit came to him. That Spirit was not fleeing away from him. That Spirit was not rejected by him. That Spirit was being received by him. I'm going to tell you a quick story. It's a true story. A young man was driving a Model T automobile up the road. He got so far up the road and the car began to sputter and it died. He got out and got what tools he had, and he was under the hood and he was tinkering with that old Model T trying to get it going. It wasn't getting anywhere and he couldn't get it going. A very old gray-haired man pulled up behind him in a car. Man turned off his car and walked around to the young man and said, Young man, could I be of an assistance to you? And the young man said, "No, no, no, no. Listen, buddy. This is. I know what I'm doing, and I can take care of this." And so the old man stood there for a little while, and the young man continued to tinker on the car. And it was a Model T Ford, and he worked, but he couldn't get it started. The old man said, "Young man, if you'd allow me, I'd be glad to try to help you get the car started." And the young man said, "Old man, you know, listen. You know, this is a modern vehicle, and I think I can handle it." So the old man just stood there very patiently, and he watched, and the young man kept on trying to get his car started, and he couldn't. And finally, the young man said, "Okay, if you think you're so smart, come over here and get this started." The old man put his head under the hood, and about 2 minutes later, the car started up just like that. And the young man said, "Sir, how did you know how to fix a car?" The old man stuck his hand out and shook the young man's hand and said, "Well, my name's Henry Ford." Can I tell you something? God gave you and I His Spirit to help fix us and to keep us running right. And you know what we do? "Well, I don't need it. I'll take care of this myself. I'll attend to it with my personality. I'll work through this my way." Folks, God gave you and I the Spirit of God to keep us from breaking down, to fix us up when we're broken down, and to help us through the times when our spiritual engine's not running right. And so many times, we reject that leading. In the scripture that I read to you a moment ago, the Bible compared the Spirit of God to a dove. And one of the reasons for that is because a dove, if you know anything about a dove can be spooked quite easily. And the Spirit of God is a very sensitive part of God. The Holy Spirit wants to be wanted. The Holy Spirit wants to be invited into the everyday workings of your life. He's sensitive. And I think he needs to be invited frequently. He wants to be there, but he wants to be wanted. And if you want him on Monday, you need to invite him to be a part of your life on Monday. If you want him in your life on Tuesday, you need to invite him to be a part of your life on Tuesday. If you want him in your life on Wednesday, you'll have to invite him again. And folks, the average Christian, every once in a while, will say, "Spirit of God, help me." And that's it. It may be weeks, months, for some even years, before they ever even talk to him again. If you want him in your life on Thursday, you need to invite him to be a part of your life on Thursday. And if you want him in your life on Friday, you need to say, "Spirit of God, give me guidance today." The same for Saturday, the same for Sunday. Matter of fact, you might do it in the morning, and if you're not careful, you'll forget that he even exists by noon. So you may have to push the reset button and say to the Spirit of God about noon, "Now, Lord, I still need your guidance." About supper time, if you're not careful, you'll forget that he even is a spirit and that he wants to guide you. But did you know he wanted to guide you when you got off work on Monday and through the night on Monday night? The reason why some of you struggle with your Christian life is you try to do it on your own. And we were never expected to live the Christian life on our own. That's why when you got saved, he was sealed inside of you. He wants to be wanted. He wants to be invited into your life. He must be given the impression that he can have freedom to do his work without restraint placed upon him by you. He will not force himself upon you. If he feels unwanted, he'll simply and quietly slip away from you unnoticed. He'll just back off and let you do your own thing. You know, the Bible speaks of Samson. In Judges 16, verse number 20, it says, "And she said, 'The Philistines be upon thee, Samson.' And he awoke out of his sleep and said, 'I will go out as at other times before and shake myself.' And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." I want to explain something. It is said more of Samson than any other Bible character. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Nobody in the Bible got credit for the Spirit of God being on them as much as Samson did. But Samson was not tender with the Spirit's presence. Samson got to rejecting that guidance. And the Bible says that the Spirit very quietly departed from this great man. And it even says, he wist not that the Lord had departed. There are some of you, there was a point in your life when you were very submissive to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you don't need Him, you don't communicate with Him, you don't submit to Him, and He has very, very quietly gone to stand in a back corner in your life, and He waits as you ignore Him. As you live your life without His guidance, you live your life without all the great qualities that He gives you. He will not force Himself on you. He's not like that. Don't offend Him. Don't reject the Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Don't insult the Spirit of God. Willingly depend on Him to do that which He wants to do for you. Love Him. Be gentle with Him. Be friendly toward Him. Consciously desire His presence. Invite Him into your decision making. Be affectionate toward Him. Want Him and let Him know that you want Him. If we reject Him, we are left to do God's work on our own. And you can't get God's work done right in your flesh. It's a for sure failure. Dad, you can't be the right kind of spiritual dad unless you're led by the Spirit. Mom, you can't be the right kind of spiritual mom unless you're led by the Spirit. Married couple, part of your problem is you're trying to solve your problem with your own brain, and what you need is the Holy Spirit of God to become a part of the communication and the healing and what needs to be done, and you'll see something supernatural happen. But when you and I try to do it on our own, we are limiting ourselves, and failure is sure when we do what we ought to do in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers." See, folks, we're not sufficient within ourselves, but the Spirit of God gives life to our service to God. Hey, without the Spirit of God, enthusiastic things become unenthusiastic. Without the Spirit of God, exciting things become boring. You know something? The Word of God's exciting. You know something? Hey, the power of the Word of God is exciting. But I've watched people get up and preach the Word of God, and they try to do it in their own personality, and they try to do it with their own mind. And you know what happens? They have a way of taking the excitement out of it. And there are people that say, that was boring. I don't like going to boring church services. You say, what makes a difference? Big old dose of the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. His absence can kill an atmosphere. His presence can bring it alive. Folks, let me tell you, be aware and cautious of your treatment of the Holy Spirit of God. I call the sermon tonight, Rejecting His Spirit. I'm going to say a lot of things. I'm going to say them on purpose. They're planned. Please listen. And spiritually receive some things that will help you in regard to the Spirit of God. First of all, don't reject His comfort. Don't reject the Holy Spirit's comfort. In John chapter 14, verse number 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things." Here, the Holy Spirit of God is called the Comforter. Now listen, you shouldn't reject the Comforter. It's His job to comfort you. If I try to comfort myself, He may feel unwanted and unneeded. You know, some of you say, "I tried to comfort myself, and I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried and I couldn't get it done." Could I say to you, it might be a good idea if you let the Comforter comfort. Next time you need comfort, try this. Bow your head and close your eyes and say, "Oh, Spirit of God, please, I need You in a special way. Comfort me." He always answers that prayer. So I prayed it and He didn't answer it. No, He answered it. You just rejected. He'll answer that prayer. See, listen, don't reject His comfort. His comfort will far exceed your comfort to yourself. When you seek pity from other people, you may cause the Spirit of God to feel unneeded. When the Spirit of God, it's His job to comfort you, and you just seek pity, He may say, "Either she doesn't need me, he doesn't need me." They just want pity from another human being. Did you know that pity won't fix your spirit? It may make you feel good for a moment, but you need something from within. You need a supernatural dose of encouragement from the Spirit of God. Turn to Him. Don't reject His comfort. When you let a drug calm you down, you know what happens? The Spirit of God says, huh? I'm not needed. They'll let a drug calm them. They'll let beer calm them. They'll let pity calm them. I'm not needed. Do you understand? You are replacing the comfort of the Spirit of God with Southern comfort. What are you doing? What are you thinking? Is God inadequate? God's not inadequate. Let God comfort you. That's why He gave you His Spirit. When you run to man before you run to God, the Spirit of God feels rejected. You say, but preacher, the man or that the woman that I ran to, they were just easy to get to. Well, the Holy Spirit lives within you. He can't get any closer. And all your human comforters sleep. Some right now. Holy Spirit never sleeps. He never slumbers. Ask Him to comfort you. Look, there's nothing wrong with going to man for comfort after you've gone to the great Comforter. Invite Him to do what He wants in regard to comfort. Let Him know He's wanted. Let Him know He's needed. Let Him know He's desired. He can comfort any hurt, but He must first know that He is wanted. Don't chase the Holy Spirit and His comfort away from you. Secondly, don't reject the Spirit's spiritual strength. Don't reject that Spirit's spiritual strength. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The word infirmities there is weakness. What it's teaching is the Holy Spirit will strengthen your weakness. Now listen, if I do my spiritual work in my strength, I think the Spirit will quietly stand on the sideline wishing He was needed or wanted. He will watch me struggle, wishing He could help me while I am busy doing His work with my strength. If I supply my own limited power, He feels I don't need His unlimited power, and He steps aside and said, well, I'll watch. You know how many of you make the Holy Spirit watch you do what you do? Did you know that He's not to be watching you? You're to be doing it with Him. It's to be a team effort. Folks, it is so much easier to do what you do with the Spirit's help. When you're doing it on your own, it's like trying to drive your car with four flat tires. Y'all understand what happens when a tire is flat? You understand what happens when a tire begins to go flat? You struggle. You struggle. Put the air in all those tires. That baby will roll. The Spirit of God lightens a load so that you can carry the weight that you need to carry. He's not there to be a spectator to watch you do what you do. He's there to help you do what you do. Don't reject the strength that He makes available. Folks, there are people in here, you're carrying some pretty heavy loads. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I can bear the load. I don't think you can. By yourself. So I'm going to crack up. The only people that crack up are people that try to do it on their own. I've never seen a Spirit-filled Christian crack up. I can't take it. With the Spirit, you can. Listen, folks, if I do God's work without asking for His strength, He takes it as a rejection. And He says, okay, I'll be over here sitting down waiting on you to need me. He will not force His strength upon you. He will not argue with you about the strength. It's there for the using. All you got to do is ask. If not, He will patiently and timidly wait until He's wanted or needed. Listen to this. It's not our job to try to show God how strong we are. It's our job to let Him show us how strong He is. When my boys were young, they used to love watching me flex my muscles. Now, you all would like it too, but, you know, they'd love watching me flex my muscles and roll that bicep. Oh, do that, Dad, do that, Dad. And they just love that. Can I tell you something? Your heavenly Father is the strongest of the strong. You and I ought to be crying out to Him saying, Heavenly Daddy, come flex your muscle, Dad. Come flex your muscle at my house. Come flex your muscle with my marriage. Come flex your muscle with my kids. Come flex your muscle at my church. Let me tell you something, folks. If we're going to charge hell like we do around here, we're not going to be able to do it in your personality or mine. If we're going to make an eternal impact, we better call on the power of Almighty God. We better. Hey, you're not going to get the comfort you need from you or from me. You're going to get the comfort you need from the Holy One, the Holy Spirit of God. And you're not going to be as strong as what you need to be in your own strength or in my strength, but you need to get to the strength of the Holy Spirit of God. It makes all the difference in the world. Thirdly, don't reject the one who is your ultimate teacher. Your ultimate teacher. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You see, I'm saying don't reject the one who can teach you everything you need to know. Don't reject Him. You see, His Spirit is revealing. His Spirit reveals the deep things of God. When you study your Bible, can I tell you something? Don't be dependent on your brain. I know some brilliant people that go to study their Bible and can't seem to get anything out of it. You know why? You're depending on your brain. So what are you supposed to depend on? The Holy Spirit of God. He is a revealer. He searches all things. He'll give you the deep things of God. If I read the Bible and use my own insight, He does not have to pursue me with His insight. You say, well, I want to know what that verse means to me. Can I give you some good advice? Why don't you find out what that verse means to God? If I study the Bible depending on my own wisdom, He will let me impress myself knowing that His wisdom would have been far better. Sometimes we read the Bible saying, you know, I'm so smart, and boy, look, I know what this means, and I know what that means. You know what you probably need to do? You need to humble yourself and say, it really doesn't matter what I think that means. It matters what that means to God, and I'm going to let the Spirit of God change my life. If I use the Bible calling upon my own human logic, I think the Holy Spirit will gently take leave and wait off to the side. Say, well, when you think you need me, let me know. I'd be glad to explain that. Yeah, but I got my concordance out. Your concordance won't take the place of the Holy Spirit of God. So I got my Bible dictionary out. Well, I'm glad. But your Bible dictionary will never surpass the insight of the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, I've got some pretty good commentaries. I'm so glad you do. But did you know the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible, and the best person to explain the Bible is the Holy Spirit of God? He wrote the book. Ask Him to rest upon your ears as a preacher's preaching. Ask Him to rest upon your perception as the teacher's teaching. I'll tell you something. It about wears you out in this day and age. If you want the Holy Ghost of God in your church, you have all sorts of people that walk into the church and they've not surrendered themselves to the Spirit. They come in the flesh and they want the pastor to entertain them for a little while and try to figure out a way to keep their attention. And you can preach and you can teach and you can get loud and you can use illustrations and you can use humor. You'll go home and you'll be as wore out as you can be because they sit and listen in the flesh, but you're trying to preach in the Spirit.
You can, hey, it's an unstoppable combination when the preacher preaches in the Spirit and the people listen in the Spirit. You double the power. You get greater things done. It's not my job to stand up here and preach in the Spirit and for you to sit out there and listen in the flesh. It is as much your responsibility to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God as a listener as it is mine to be filled with the Spirit of God as I preach. Listen in the Spirit. You'll hear more. You'll hear more. I don't want to embarrass you, but Brother Buck, I think you listen in the Spirit. I do. I wonder how many times Brother Buck come up to me and he'll say, "Man, preacher, you were teaching this, and I was thinking this, and God was, it was so good." And I thought, that's just so refreshing. That's so refreshing. Because half the people can't remember what I said 15 minutes after they leave church. Test it. Ask at supper time on Sunday what was taught Sunday morning. Oh, no. What did the preacher preach about? Jesus. God. The Bible. Don't reject the one who's the ultimate teacher. Let me tell you, you know something? You could have the most boring pastor on the face of the earth. I could be the most boring Bible teacher on the face of earth. But if I would stand up here and teach the Bible and you were filled with the Spirit while you listened, you'd be taught. You'd be taught. Listen in the Spirit. How is it that Sam came to the same church service, heard the same truth, heard the same preacher, delivered on the same day, they walked out, and their life had been transformed, you walked out, and you can't even remember what was said? What's the difference? One listened in the Spirit, the other listened in the flesh, and the Spirit of God taught them the deep things of God, and He reached into the innermost part of their soul and made them victorious. Don't reject the Spirit. Don't reject the one who magnifies your teaching and preaching. Now, I was just talking about the teaching you receive. Now, for a moment, let me say, those of you that teach and preach, don't reject the one who's your real mouthpiece. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Listen, if you're a teacher, if you're a preacher, hey, and I'm talking about teachers and preachers, I'm talking to parents, I'm talking about people that influence and teach the Word of God. To speak, preach, or teach in your own power is shallow. It's weak. It's barely productive. Ask the Holy Spirit to control your voice and your thoughts. I pray for three things all day long, every day, 7 days a week. I pray that God would give me wisdom. I pray that God would give me love. And I pray that God would give me His power. Oh, I want to have the wisdom of God so I can help people see their way through the problems of life. I want the love of God so that they know that God loves them and that their pastor loves them. And I want the power of God, which can revolutionize thinking. You ought to be asking the Holy Spirit of God as a teacher, as a preacher, to guide you. Invite Him. Beg Him. You know, I don't know if you recognize it, but around here, just almost every time we have a service, you hear the prayer, "Oh, Spirit of God, come and work in our midst." That's not just religious talk. It's the real deal. We're inviting the Holy Spirit to come and take this from a mortal meeting to a supernatural event that will make a difference in eternity. If you try to teach in your own power, He goes and sits in the back of the classroom and watches you with the students as they're bored stiff and don't receive well.
Invite him to control your teaching. Invite him to control your preaching and teaching on the bus. Invite him to control your preaching and teaching in Sunday school. Invite him to control your preaching and teaching, parents. Parents, let me tell you something. You can try to raise your kids on your own character and personality all you want. But if you've been doing it for very long, you need a dose of some supernatural power and help. You say, I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do. Then let me ask you this. Are you raising your kids as you are personally filled with the Spirit of God? If not, you know what you're doing? Trying to do it yourself. So, well, I read Dr. Spock's book. I'd throw that thing in the trash and burn it. Well, I read that book. It's a trashy book. The book you better read is the Word of God, and the Word of God will tell you, Mom and Dad, walk in the Spirit, and it'll give you the power and the insight and the wisdom to raise your children right. Hey, if you try to lead in your own power, I believe the Holy Spirit just slips out of sight and says, well, I'll wait over here till you need me. Lead in the Spirit. Invite Him to take over. You want to fix your leadership flaws? Lead in the Spirit, not in the flesh. You need the Holy Spirit for your soul winning. And He wants to be wanted. Did you know the Holy Spirit is the ultimate teacher? Let Him make you successful. He's the ultimate leader. If you try to preach using your own talent and personality, He'll let you do it. He'll slip away to go help someone that wants His talent and personality to do the influencing. Did you know? Let me teach you something. Some of you say, well, Pastor, I don't have a lot of oratory refinement. I'm not a good speaker. I've never taken any type of a speech class, or I've never taken a homiletics class. I don't know how to talk well. I'm not real good at communicating. Let me tell you what you do. You ask the Holy Spirit of God to control you while you talk, and you're just going to be shocked what can happen. The worst public speaker in the world, filled with the Holy Ghost of God, becomes a powerhouse. A powerhouse. Some of you young men and some of you young ladies, you feel like God may be leading you to the ministry, but you say, but Pastor, I'm not very good at public speaking, and I'm kind of afraid to talk, and I'm kind of afraid to teach. Let me tell you something. Then what you can do is you can depend on the Holy Spirit, and if you're afraid, He'll give you strength. Hey, and if you'll just keep you out of the road, you just become the mouthpiece. I'm going to tell you something. You are going to make a difference. You can do it not because of you, but because of Him. He's the ultimate leader. He can take a boring class and give it life. He can take a terrible speaker and empower them supernaturally. I said this. I said, don't reject His comfort. Don't reject His strength. Don't reject the teaching He tries to give you. Don't reject Him helping you as a teacher or as a preacher. Then, don't reject Him who is the greatest musician ever. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19 says, and be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice, in verse 18, it talked about being filled with the Spirit of God. Then it goes right into music. That is not an accident. That is not an accident for a moment. Let me say to every musician in the house, you say, Preacher, what can I do to please you? What can I do to please the Lord? What can I do to please our church in regard to my music? We've got a lot of guidelines and a lot of policies. But you need to do what you do in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Let the Holy Spirit influence your music. When a soloist sings with the Holy Spirit, his music is heartwarming and life-changing. It's not just entertainment. When he or she sings on her own, they're just entertainers. The Holy Spirit, when an instrumentalist or a singer gets up and sings and they're going to do it on their own, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit says, I thought I was a part of the group. But you don't take the time to get him involved. So he goes back here and sits down and says, huh, I guess I'll just listen. Now you tell me something.
Which would you prefer? The Holy Spirit to listen to you sing or the Holy Spirit sing with you? I've heard some of you sing. He'd be better in your group. When a quartet sings, having invited the heavenly dove to use them, their music makes a spiritual impact. But when they sing depending solely on their own talent, they shortchange God and everybody else. And the Holy Spirit says, I'll wait on the sideline till you big shots don't need me anymore. When an accompanist surrenders her fingers or his fingers to the Holy Spirit of God, he can use the notes to do God's work. But when a piano player does it on their own, the Lord sits there on the bench with them and says, boy, you're pretty good with that thing, but I could take you up a notch if you'd let me. Spirit-filled singing takes the old-time fashioned hymns and makes them come alive. I'll tell you something. The reason why, and this is sad, it used to not be in fundamental Baptist churches, but now I got to say, there are fundamental Baptist churches everywhere going to contemporary and country Western kinds of gospel music, and I'm going to tell you why. Everybody's saying, those old-time gospel hymns have become boring. It's boring. Too slow moving. You know what the problem is? They stopped receiving it in the Spirit. They stopped singing it in the Spirit. So it became boring. But you can sing Amazing Grace and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's a great song. And God gets involved and moves our heart and moves the service. Everybody involved in the music program of this church, I'm not going contemporary. I'm not going country western. We're going to keep the Spirit of God all over the music. Boy, you heard that quartet sing earlier. You heard the music of earlier today. God was all over it. That'll make a difference. Hey, you'll stick with the old time religion if the Holy Ghost of God is the one in charge, but you're going to change everything up. You're going to go to the new contemporary because it's boring. We need more entertainment. Hey, the Holy Ghost of God is an adequate entertainment and far beyond that if you'll just let Him run the show. But man wants to run the show. So man said, well, we need to change it up. Brother Elswick knows this. People say, well, we need to get a more wild program for the youth. Brother Elswick, same program for the youth, same program for everybody else. It's the Word of God. It's the old-time religion. We're not trying to entertain the young people. Say, they'll be bored. Our kids are not bored, but the Spirit of God's involved in what goes around here. And you know what? That energizes things. People say the old-time religion's boring. No, they're boring. So they use their new rock and their Christian contemporary trash. And the Holy Spirit goes aside and says, what a mess. They didn't need to do that. They could have just submitted to me. He makes all the difference in the world. To our congregation, let's guard this precious thing called the Holy Spirit. Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's teach in the Spirit. Let's have our relationships in the Spirit. If Mrs. Owens and I have ever had tension, I promise you, one of the two of us was in the flesh. Or maybe both. But can I tell you something? A husband filled with the Holy Spirit and a wife filled with the Holy Spirit, it's going to be pretty rare you have a whole lot of tension. The Bible says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. The Lord said to him, he said, that's my son, in whom I'm well pleased. He was pleased that he got baptized. I think he's also pleased because the Holy Spirit of God said, I'm going to be with him. I'm going to be with him. You know what? He wants to be with you. But Jesus didn't say, no, I don't want the Holy Spirit. No. He said, I want the Holy Spirit. Folks, the difference for some of you is this. Either you're inviting him to lead you daily, or you're ignoring him. Don't ignore the Spirit of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
at any level of Christianity that you find yourself this evening, the sermon is applicable. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're a born-again Christian, I wish you would search your heart. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? You say, oh, Pastor, that's just for preachers. No, according to the Old Testament, it's for young, old, married, single, children, youth, senior citizen. All of us are to be surrendered to that Spirit. Who here would say, preacher, the Spirit of God has touched my heart tonight. Would you let Him see your hand? You may put those hands down. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If the Spirit of God spoke to you, you might need to come to this altar. There's some of you need to come down here and say, God, I'm sorry. I've forgotten about you. Really and honestly, there maybe two brothers in here, you're fussing or fighting a brother and sister. What you ought to do is probably come down here and get right with the Spirit of God so then you can get right with your brother, get right with your sister. Because the issue is not as much between two people. It's that you're just not filled with the Spirit. Are you born again? If you're not, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Dad, you want a good child-rearing tool? Walk in the Spirit. Mom, you want a good child-rearing tool? Walk in the Spirit. Husband, you want a good leadership tool with your family? Walk in the Spirit. Wife, you want a good tool to help your marriage? Walk in the Spirit. Bus captain, say, preacher, I want my bus route to be everything it ought to be. Walk in the Spirit. Sunday school teacher, don't stand up there and teach in your flesh. Teach in the Spirit. Preach in the Spirit. And go soul winning in the Spirit. Read your Bible in the Spirit. Sing your song in the Spirit. He'll train you. He'll strengthen you. He'll comfort you. He'll empower you. He will change you. He will guide you. He will direct you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The Spirit of God was given to get us through the mess of a life that we must live. And then we reject or ignore Him. And He's not going to force Himself on you. He's like a dove, the Bible said. You can spook a dove real easily. You need to be tender with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Don't reject Him. Hey, and when He speaks to your heart, don't reject that. Receive it. The pianist will continue to play. Submission to the Holy Spirit while you're on the church property. You're supposed to be in submission to the Holy Spirit when you're in your property and at work. Thank you, Sarah. Everybody look right this way. We won't sit down. I'm going to tell you a very quick little story. One of the first books I wrote, it's a book called Character. The one thing money can't buy and the one thing you can't afford to be without. I wrote it and they began to circulate across the country, just thousands and thousands of copies. A company called Union Carbide was located, I think, is up in Pennsylvania at the time. They contacted me and said, we would like to take a page out of your book about an employee's way to behave themselves with character. We'd like to print it. We want to give it to all our employees. I said, sure. I said, I'd be glad for you to do that. They did it. I was up in that neck of the woods preaching, and people there didn't really know me, and I didn't know them. And I'd gone into the church, and there's a guy standing in the back, and he told me, he said, I asked him, I said, what do you do for a living? He said, I work at Union Carbide. And we talked for a little while, and
he began to, believe it or not, he began to describe to me the page out of my book. Now, he didn't know who I was. He said, yeah, the other day at work, they gave us this piece of paper from the Bible, and it's about your character and work, and he told me a little bit about it. I said, well, did it say this on the paper? He said, it did. I said, it did on the paper anywhere. Did it say this? He said, it did. I said, did it, was it worded just like this? He said, did you get the paper too? I didn't tell him. Now, my book table was out. My character book was there. And wasn't long, the pastor, he introduced me. I went up to preach. And the pastor got up and said, this is Dr. Jeff Owens. I'd recommend that you read his book on character. I looked out at this guy and he went. You know what? The Holy Spirit of God wrote the book. You try to understand his material without him. You try to live the life you've been given without him. He gave you the life. Let the one that authored all answers help you with yours. Don't reject him.